Well, hello, everyone. Welcome once again to Voice of Reason Radio. Your hosts, Chris Honholtz and Richard Story, joining you on this final month of 2020. That would make this December 4th, 2020. And for Alan Nelson, that means that Christmas is only literally 3 weeks away. And then he's going to have to start, you know, putting things away and pretending that, you know, Christmas is over, which he'll just start back over again in January. But we are getting ready to wrap up what has perhaps been the most bizarre year in modern history. And we are literally just 27 days away from ending this insane year. But it wants to go out on a bang, Rich. It wants to go out on a bang, doesn't it?
Well, if mysterious monoliths showing up in random spots is any indication, I think it's going to leave as weird as it started out. I mean, it's definitely been one for the history books that will have an asterisk beside it and 10 pages of footnotes 10 years from now when people look back and read about 2020. It definitely has been a very strange year. And you and I were talking about it in pre-show, and not even just all the mask and COVID and closures and everything else, but a lot of people that I know have had other issues going on in their lives this year that wasn't even related to that, but just kind of magnified everything else and just turned it into a year that just basically got turned upside down for their lives. And, you know, just had all kinds of different things coming at them from all these different directions. And I've experienced it. You've experienced it. You know, you and I both know plenty of brothers and sisters that have gone through similar things this year. It's just been very, very odd. And there's really no other way to put it other than it's just been extremely odd. But my fear is, come 2021, come around April or March, we're going to be saying, man, I wish, man, I missed 2020. I didn't realize how good we had it last year.
Yeah, I've never thought I would see us potentially think of 2020 as the year when, well, it, you know, kind of like the Israelites longingly looking back to Egypt going, well, at least we had jobs and there was food in our stomachs and yeah, we were under bondage, but everything was just fine. We're going to die out here in the desert. I'm like you. I kind of see 2021 being that way. You know, we actually look back to one of the worst years on record and going, it wasn't that bad. If 2021... You know, truly, go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, truly, for someone outside of Christ, that should be terrifying.
It really should. It really, really should. And, you know, I got to be honest. There are some things about 2020 where we've kind of joked about it. You made reference to the monoliths. Utah, Romania, and now I forget where it was, somewhere else here in the U.S., silver monoliths, appearing out of nowhere and then disappearing. Just whatever you do, folks, if the computer talks to you and wants to be called Hal, just don't. Just, you know, throw the computer in the garbage. But
you forgot a recent extremely weird one. Did you not read about the zombie minks that were
country
overseas?
Yeah, they buried a bunch of that was a weird one. They had tested COVID on these minks. Minks are little animals that they're not just coats. The coat is made from animal fur called a mink. So, but they tested it. And of course, you know, now that the animals have died, they buried them, but then they like came out of the ground, like Pet Cemetery kind of stuff. It's like, can we just be done with 2020, please? It's like, this is not, this, no more. From what I understand, if I understood the article correctly, they were supposed to be buried so far down with a layer of, I forget what they were putting on top of it, but then another layer of dirt and another layer of this substance and then bury them. But I think what the reality was, they didn't get buried deep enough. And so somehow, maybe because of the expanding gases which happen in dead bodies, it pushed up and came up out of the ground. But yeah, I mean, suddenly these buried dead animals have come up out of the ground. It's like, okay, that's it. I'm done. I'm pulling the plug. 2020's done. I'm done. I'm out. I don't want it anymore. And then right after that, you have the mysterious shiny metal monolith showing up all over the planet. So it's just like, yeah, it's trying to go out on a bang. But I tell you, brother, I like what you said. And this is not our show topic, folks, but I just, you know, we were talking about this pre-show and I just thought it was worth mentioning. You are absolutely right. This year has been by far one of the strangest years on record. And when you think about what we normally have to go through, Rich, maybe it's work-related stuff. Maybe it's a lack of work, finances, family issues, health issues. That's always challenging to any person, whether you're in Christ or not. Those are challenging times in your life. But then you take 2020 and all the bizarreness that came out of that, the pandemic that wasn't but sort of is again, the overreach of the government, you know, the bullying that is still going on by petty tyrants who demand that you obey them or they will punish you. The virtue signaling of people who say, well, I clearly care about people more than you because I wear a mask. And now it's getting like to the point of terrifying behavior from these virtue signalers. I just saw a video, some poor gal, she's in a Hobby Lobby or something. And this guy is coming down on her, just getting up in her face, and she's putting the camera up because she wants evidence. She's like, get away from me. And he is cursing at her, saying, put on your mask, and he will not get away from her. And it's like, and nobody's doing anything until finally the end of the video. I don't know if it was a store employee or whatever made him go away. And then like a Costco, some guy gets a bucket and dumps a ton of water on some dude's head because he's not wearing a mask. And it's like, you take an election where we still don't know what's really going on. Maybe Biden won. Maybe he didn't. You know, all the court cases, all the allegations, everything's been so highly politicized. There is no news anymore. Everything's utter commentary. You're not getting news anymore, by the way. I don't care which network you're turning into. Nobody's reporting the news. It's all commentary, which means it's all opinion. You know, so you don't know what's true. You don't know what's real. Every one of us have always known that there was, in every election, there's been corruption. I mean, it's just a fact. It's just that this one has been so highly scrutinized that we're seeing a lot of that, what probably goes on all the time anyway. So the question is it widespread voter fraud that's actually enough to turn things around? Or is it the normal voter fraud that's just happening to get caught? We don't know because nobody's really doing reporting. And so we don't know what the facts are. And so take all of that and then dump that on. And then you got the shutdowns, which are causing people to be out of work. I just saw a video, some poor gal in California, her business is getting shut down more or less because Newsom's overreach. And in the same time, she's trying to organize just a little bit of business. The idiot mayor, and I'm sorry, I'm going to call him that. He's, you know, I'm sorry if people are offended by that, but he's allowing for this movie company to fill up this parking lot with tables and tents for some sort of movie company banquet. And so you look at all this and you see people, my state, the folks that do here in Nevada that do the payments for unemployment, literally millions of dollars have yet to be paid out. People have not been paid in months for unemployment. They just got a smackdown from a district court judge here and said, you didn't do what I told you to do. You didn't provide me any verifications of any of the reasons why this stuff's been done. You now must pay out, I think, like $120 million, you know, right now. I mean, you take all of that and then you dump it into the struggles of life. And is it any wonder that suicide rates are up, that mental health, illnesses are on the rise? Some poor child, because he can't go to school and be with his friends where he goes all the time during a Zoom distance learning session, commits suicide, and his friends can see it. It was just, this has been probably the most difficult year, I can imagine, for any of us. And every one of us feels that pressure. Many of us might have jobs that we can still go to. Many of us might still be able to provide for our families, but you feel the weight of it. I guarantee you're feeling that weight. I do. I had a conversation with my wife and even talked to Rich right before the show. I feel it. And I have a job that isn't going anywhere. But the pressure that's constantly there, the divisiveness, the weight of the uncertainty, the judgmentalism. I mean, I don't think I've ever lived in a time where all of it happened at once, like just trying to take a drink out of a fire hose and rip your face off, right? And
absolutely. I'm sorry, brother. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, and if we haven't been affected directly, we have family members that have. I know within my immediate family, with the jobs that some of them have, and one of them being in the restaurant industry, this entire year has almost been, okay, do we get to work today? Okay, what is this week's guidelines? All right, you know, and the ramifications of, okay, I was exposed to someone that was exposed to someone that tested positive for COVID. Well, okay, until this person's results come back, you're late. You don't come into work until we know that this person is clear for being, you know, it's like second or third removed from the actual person that exposed to COVID. But because you came in contact with someone that came in contact, but you don't come back to work until we know this person is all right and there's no chance of you having it.
Yep.
And this occurring for me in areas that are not under these state-imposed lockdowns. My governor, whether he stands by it or not, has refused any type of national mask mandate. He's basically said, this is what our state's doing. As a county, if you want to impose, you know, these restrictions, it's up to you for your individual community. But even with that, it's still within different areas of where I live. One town is still imposing curfews and mask mandates. You go 40 miles up the road and it's wide open, just basically live like any other year. Yeah. So it's really been bizarre, because it's not, you know, we see the headlines of places like New York and out west in California and even where you live, but we forget that each state is handling all of this differently.
Yeah.
So, you know, what you see going on in New York may not be going on somewhere else, but even in my area, which I supposedly live in one of the most conservative states in the country, you know, it still affects the local church to where, you know, okay, such and such has tested COVID. We're not going to have church again for 2 weeks and make sure everybody else is okay. This type of thing. And regardless of what state you're living in, we're all seeing it and are being affected by what's going on, even in states like New York, because it almost creates like a mass hysteria throughout the country, and it has a ripple effect that, you know, we're going to be impacted one way or the other, because our economy is like a domino, and we may be one of the last dominoes in a line of dominoes a mile long, but eventually when that first one is knocked over, they're all going to fall. And at some point we're going to be hit by that falling domino. And that's what we're seeing now. I mean, first of the year when the toilet paper shortage started, you know, and that started out west, and it was a ripple effect across the country to where, you know, people were scrounging, trying to find toilet paper, or you had others that were trying to profit off of it and, you know, buying two or three shopping buggies lap full of it. And you're almost seeing that again now. People, the strangest thing to me has been, you know, okay, there's a COVID pandemic. Well, let's go buy up all the toilet paper. That to me has been the most crazy aspect of 2020. And, you know, I can understand if there's a surge in demand in one part of the country that it takes a while for the supply chain to catch up. But there's been certain aspects of what's going on this year that make absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, back in 2019, this same moment last year, if we could have foresaw what was going to transpire in 2020, you and I could have become millionaires off of investing in toilet paper and Lysol.
I still want to know what y'all did with the toilet paper you bought. What did you do with it? Because y'all did it. You're doing this again.
That's a good question.
What did y'all do with the toilet paper you bought? Because y'all should be like, you know, there should be a room in your house where you're stacked floor to ceiling. Because y'all are doing it again. I still want to know. What'd you do with that toilet paper? So, it's been crazy. Go ahead.
My question is, why have stores not imposed one per customer? You know, one visit per customer, you can buy one pack. I mean, that is very simple, very plain way to, you know, handle that. But yet the stores are like, okay, you want 40 triple packs? Here, go ahead, take them.
Well, when most of your stores have nothing but self-checkout, how do you regulate that? You know, I mean, Walmart almost doesn't pay for the checkers anymore. It's all self-checkout. Even Costco's got self-checkout now. This is insanity. So yeah, it's almost impossible to enforce. But so anyway, Go ahead.
There's been one really great thing that has come out of this is people realizing curbside service.
Yeah.
And once this is all over and done with, people are going to be spoiled, and they will be expecting Walmart and some of these other big box chains to continue that curbside pickup. Reminds me of the old timey days when you live in a small town, you could get your groceries mm-hmm. delivered to your front door.
Well, and honestly, that might be, in my opinion, while I am not a fan of a lot of the what's taken us away from personal interaction, it's one of the reasons I hate masks, because you don't get to see a human face anymore, and you can't smile at someone and try to you can't smile and try to brighten someone's day.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I mean,
no. This is so wrong with me.
Go ahead. Go ahead. You can't leave it sitting there.
Based on some areas of this country, and this is very wrong of me, I should not say it, but masks have made it a drastic improvement in the aesthetic looks in certain regions of this country.
Well, especially Walmart at 3 a.m.
I laughed at that. But anyway, I don't know why that popped into my head, much less popped out of my mouth. But.
Well, I did set it up on a tee. I'm sure half our listeners probably thought the same thing. So it tells you something about the people that listen to us. Sorry, that was bad. I shouldn't have said that. I should edit that out, but I won't. But getting on track. I mean, that is one of the reasons I hate the masses, because it's depersonalized us. But I do think that the curbside is a good thing in some cases for people who are, you know, immune compromised, for people who can't do shopping on their own, for the mom that's got three kids at home. And I think that's a great thing. And so I would like to see it still be available, because I think there are good uses for it. And it is putting Walmart employees to work instead of just using self-checkout. So I kind of like that idea.
Actually, they have actually increased hiring. Yeah. Walmarts in my area have actually been going to job fairs trying to hire more people to help basically offshoot of Amazon. They're filling orders in the back rooms of Walmart, and you got other people they've hired in that are basically runners that are doing nothing but taking the groceries and the shopping out to the vehicle. So it actually has helped employment in some areas. Sadly, it's people that got unemployed because of COVID in other areas. But you know, there is actually a balance. But and I know this for a fact, one of the crazy aspects of all this, in some of these states, there have been genuinely people that made more money on unemployment than they made at their job.
Yeah. And that's that. And I've encountered that even well before we ever ran into a pandemic issue. So yeah, unfortunately that's not untrue in many cases sometimes. But getting back to what we were saying, cause we still got a show to do here. This almost is a show. But one of the things I
recap
wanted to
recap of 2020.
Yeah. No kidding. One of the things that I wanted to emphasize tonight, just because we were talking about it in pre-show and I felt it was worth bringing up, is that for the Christian church, this really is a time we need to remember that within our local bodies and within the people we know, the brothers and sisters that we know, every one of us has been impacted, like you said, Rich, either directly or indirectly, or just the constant pressure of the year, the constant disconnectedness that we're all feeling. We're all going through this. I don't think I've met anyone in my day-to-day walk that hasn't felt the mental strain, the emotional strain that this year has put on everybody. So just from me and from Rich to you guys, I would like to ask you to think about, in these closing weeks of this year, what can you do to encourage your brothers and sisters? How can you minister to those who are hurting, who aren't even talking about it? You know, you're not going to see from Rich and I mean, okay, I tend to wear my heart on my sleeve a little bit, even on social media. More often than not, it's the snark that comes out. But I mean, some of you have seen the times when I'm frustrated and upset on my posts on Twitter. But generally speaking, you won't see that a lot from us, which means you're not seeing that probably from your brothers and sisters in Christ. A lot of us recognize maybe we don't have the problems that other people have. We're frustrated with certain situations, but really, in reality, I don't really need to talk about why I'm anxious or why I'm upset, because I don't understand. So recognize that what you may be feeling, in fact, I would guarantee that every one of us has felt, and probably for more than we have ever dealt with in most years, more this year than any other time, we've all felt that sense of anxiousness, that sense of dread or despair or depression. And we're like, I can't really put a finger on it. I can't really say what it is, but it's just this weight. You feel that. Guess what? Others are feeling it too.
I have a question for
you. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you have any verses of scripture that are your go-to verses in times of turmoil, or when you're feeling anxious or stressed out, or, you know, things are not going well? Do you have a go-to verse that brings you comfort or helps you through those times? Or is it just reading the Bible in general and praying that helps you?
I think for me, it's got to be the constant reading. But there are two that do come to mind when these issues come up. The first, of course, is in Romans 8, when he says, all things work together, for those who love God and are called to his purpose. All things. That means everything. Even the bad things are for God's purposes. And it's ultimately for our good, even if it means we're struggling and in pain right now. We can't see that, but it's that, at a minimum, it's that purifying. It's purging the sinfulness from us. It's bringing to the surface all the dross and impurities in our life that can be skimmed away, so that what is ultimately left is someone who is made more to look like our Savior. So that one is the first one that comes to mind. But the other one, which was kind of actually, it's funny that you asked, because this one comes to mind too. And I forget the address, but I always remember what Paul wrote when he says that we go through these things, and I'm very badly paraphrasing, we go through these things so that we will be comforted, so that then later we will comfort others with the comfort that which we received. So we go through difficulty, we go through strain and struggle, so that Christ comforts us, so that when we watch someone else go through it, we can comfort in the same way. And it's hard to imagine it. It's hard to imagine why we would go through these painful issues in life, and then later you're helping someone. You know, so when my wife went through cancer, I couldn't understand why God would allow that. But what she did during those times, and how she carried herself, and believe me, she had bad days. The days that nobody got to see. The days when she would just cry and I was, all I could do was hold her. The days when she was terribly sick and just felt horrible. And she still deals with the impact of the medications and the chemotherapy and all of that because of what it did to her body. But how she carried herself through that gave such courage to someone we knew that dealt with it later, that they could go through this too. And it was like, whoa. So you may never know. You may never understand why you go through it, but you may be the person that God uses to bring comfort in a time of difficulty and trial. So my encouragement, so that's number one thing. The other thing is that you were asking about, you know, is it just the study and prayer? Let me tell you, I've said this on the show before. My practice this year has been, I don't know if I'll carry this into 2021, but my practice has been this year, I take an Old Testament chapter, a Psalms chapter. Now I'm in the prophets, reading Ezekiel, and a chapter of the New Testament. So I'm just finishing up Joshua. I'm my second run through in Psalms. I'm in Ezekiel, and I'm in Titus now. So as I've been doing this, the thing that I've been watching happen over and over again in the Old Testament and in the prophets, is God's utter hatred of sin. The utter judgment that he pours out on a people who sin. And his promise upheld when he would bring the Israelites into the land. And the promise and the provision that he upheld. And then you see the prayers and the worship in the Psalms, when David is calling upon the judgment of those who have stood against him because in what they are doing is standing against the man of God, and rejoicing that even when he's going through these trials and these struggles, he's rejoicing over this amazing God. And then you look at the prophets, how God utterly detests what Israel had become, hates their sin, hates their idolatry. This whole thing when everybody goes, oh, well, there's national sins. There's times when the nation has to repent. I mean, look, you know, when God hates that they're unjust, or when God hates that they don't show hospitality. Yeah, look at the prophets. Every one of those individual sins that he, you know, takes the nation to task for are always rooted in the first major sin of rejection of God as a nation, in utter idolatry. And it is a detestation that God cannot abide by, and he just pours out his wrath on a people who have turned against him. And then, and I'm reading in Ezekiel how God judges every nation that turned against Israel and waggled their finger and said, aha, your God's judging you. Aha, we've gotten to take on over your nation. Aha, we've gotten to take your wealth. And he judges all of them. And it's just, here's a God that hates sin, and he will judge the wicked and the evil. And there will come a day when he will stand on, he will be at his throne, and he will pour out his judgment on a God-hating people and condemn them to hell, and those in Christ will be redeemed. And then you see the gospel in the New Testament over and over and over again. This amazing God that whom, if we would but repent and put our faith in him, over and over again you see that. And it's just like seeing that whole picture. Now, I won't say that I've read all that and, you know, the first thing in the morning and gone off to work and had a great day, because I sit down at work and then I get the first phone call I didn't want to get and my day goes in the toilet. But it has been a constant drumbeat lately, that just that constant reminder of a God who is in complete control, who knows what he's doing, that the plans that he has are for his purposes. And I may never get to know any of it, but I know I can trust him, and I see it played out in his word. But, you know, I would just say, Rich, I mean, the first thing is that as we're going through this, we got to remember God's plans and purposes. Romans 8:38, that he, you know, his plans are, you know, and his purposes used in our lives all ultimately have our ultimate good in mind. And I'm getting repetitive. Sorry. And if we are going through difficulty, what God is doing to comfort us in all that, we can use to comfort others. And then that should just renew our heart's desire to just pour ourselves into the Word of God and just study it more. In fact, we got to get him on the show. Nate Pickowich just sent me an early copy of his How to Eat Your Bible, which sounds like a really weird title, but it's just this idea of feasting on the Word of God. And his first chapter is why. You know, it doesn't even get into how to study him. He starts with, well, this is what the Word of God is, and this is what it does, you know? And it's like, oh, I can't wait to read the rest of this book, so we got to get him on here. Got to get him on here. It comes out in January. If you guys can, pre-order it. I'll put an Amazon link in there so you guys can pre-order it for the show, but...
Well, you need to hurry up and read that copy so I can borrow it and read it myself. Better you just screenshot each page and I can look at it that way. Before we get too far, though, I wanted to mention that one portion of scripture that even prior to becoming a Christian, and I still go to it now, that I've loved for years is Psalm 121. To me, that one has always brought a lot of comfort to me. But I think within the aspect of all of this, one thing that we need to focus on and remember, and sadly, I think it's often forgot, is what you pointed out, that what we go through God uses our suffering in a lot of different ways. Yeah. And one of those ways is so that we have experience, so that we in turn can help someone else that is going through the same or similar situation. And it may be decades later in our life. I know that I can look back in my own life and I can see the things that I've gone through at times, the Lord teaching me, and then I in turn have been able to reach out and help others because I've gone through something similar in my own life. And without that experience, we cannot understand, you know, what that person is dealing with unless we go through it ourselves. And I forget who made the analogy, and there's a lot of different ones, but basically, you know, if you were a sailor back in the, say, 18th century, if you were a passenger on a ship and you were going to a new country, you would be on a ship that was navigated and piloted by a captain that has already been there. You didn't want to take a chance of trying to come to America and end up in South America or end up in India. You wanted to be on that voyage with someone that had already been there before and knew where they were going. And with our suffering, as it applies to being able to help others, that analogy, you know, is really good because, you know, while we're in suffering, we will cling to God, we will read more, we will pray more, but, you know, not often do we actually pray, Lord, help me understand this so I can help someone else down the road.
Yeah.
You know, immediately, and the Bible makes it clear that suffering or discipline from the Lord is not pleasant while we're going through it, but we can still have joy knowing that God is using it for his own purpose and his own plan, whether it's to benefit us or to benefit someone else down the road. And sometimes it's for both things. So if we can take anything from 2020, we need to understand that while it's been wrought with oddities and suffering and tragedies and hardships and borderline persecution, we still need to step back and thank the Lord for blessing us and bringing us through what we've endured to help better equip us for something down the road in our future or someone else's future. And one thing we need to do is ask the Lord to help us understand what we're going through or understand our suffering. So not only that we can help others, but, you know, help us grow in sanctification, help us grow in the knowledge of Christ. And one thing that happened to me that's come out of this year, it really wasn't planned, it just kind of happened. I've made it a habit of praying 3 times a day. I say a prayer when I get up, I say a prayer at dinner, and I say a prayer before I go to the bed. My prayer life has always been like most everyone else's, just kind of hit and miss. But once I got in I used that to get myself in the habit of praying. And granted, not all the time is it, you know, a zealous type righteous prayer, but it was just a matter of making myself get in the habit of praying, just like I used similar things to make myself get in the habit of reading my Bible. And you were talking about your reading plan. Well, I'm fixing to start year four in the book of Acts. I swim in the book of Acts, but I, from time to time, get on the shore and draw off and go into another book. But years ago, I made up my mind. I was going to learn one book of the Bible and dig into it as deep and understand it as much as the Lord would allow me. And it ended up being the book of Acts. And I've stayed in it, reading and studying from different aspects, from the, you know, the true meaning of the text to the, you know, the environment that it transpired in, the different eight areas that Paul traveled to and what life was like in each one of those regions, you know, and digging as deep down as I possibly could and reading everything I could find that was, you know, solid material as it pertained to the book of Acts. But in doing that, it also had me going into other books of the Bible that the different apostles referenced or Paul talked about, and reading those and studying, because it helped me to understand the book of Acts better. But out of all the Bible, I have spent more of my Christian life in the book of Acts, probably more so than anyone else, any other book. And after that, probably the book of John. And I don't know what I would say would be the third one, because it's kind of equal out across the board, you know, in different books, but that's just the way it's worked out for me. Yeah. But even though 2020 has been, for lack of a better word, odd in so many ways, you know, we can take comfort in knowing that at some point, either now or down the road, we're going to be able to use what we've gone through to help someone else or to advise someone else. And if nothing else, we can use it to pray for our brothers and sisters that are going through difficult times, you know, throughout. And this is one of those glass half full type of perspectives, but regardless of what's going on in our life, there's always someone else somewhere going through something even worse than what we are. And at the bare bones, if you're listening to this, that means that you have internet or you have a phone. You know, which means more than likely you have a roof over your head and you have at least a meal a day. At the very basic means, we can be thankful that the Lord has provided that in our life.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think we focus too much on what we don't have instead of focusing on what the Lord has already blessed us with having. Do you see that?
I do. In fact, I posted this. The problem with social media is you never give a full enough explanation. So I apologize to a couple of brothers who I think misunderstood my point, which is my fault because I should have been clearer. But I think one of the things that 2020 has done, at least for the Christian, has exposed our love of comfort, because every one of us, and I've been really guilty about this, every one of us has been vocal in some capacity about how things have been taken from us, the freedoms that we've enjoyed, the ability to go do things, whether it's a masks or it's lockdowns or stuff. And there is legitimate concern behind some of those things. But at the same time, you and I have talked about this before, there's something uniquely different about the American experience, because we have freedoms that are unique in the world. I mean, even in other Western nation cultures, the UK, Canada, you know, and Germany and all these other places, you don't have what we have here. And I think, at least in America, I'm speaking as an American. And by the way, Eric from Sweden, thank you for your nice comment on our show from 2 weeks ago. That was very kind of you. Or no, not Sweden, Switzerland. Yeah, it was Eric from Switzerland who commented. Yeah, from our program on November 14th. Eric, I hope you're listening. Thank you. That was very kind of you. But so we're talking from a very unique American perspective. But because we've lost some of those things that we are used to, that we somehow have, how do I explain this without sounding insulting? Because I don't mean to be. It's, if we lived elsewhere, those would be considered luxuries. So tightening the belts more, having a store that's full, being able to go to our choice of stores or choice of restaurants, so many places where that's an utter massive luxury. And I think 2020 has caused us to see, if we're actually paying attention, we're very used to comfort. And it's not to say that I don't think the complaints are legitimate. I do. I think, like, what's going on with California and New York and what happened in my state and other states and even in your county or city, I think there's legitimate reason to be concerned about those things. But at the same time, I look at 2020 and I'm going, okay, 2021 is coming up and we have this right now contested election, and we see the very big potential that the person who takes the oath in January will not be Donald Trump. And the possibility is that this is the man who will usher in all the changes that will eventually push us into a full-on socialist nation, which will do great damage to our country, And I feel that and go, and I feel that tension and that anxiety well up, and I go, okay, how do other Christians in other nations deal with this? How do you live in a fully secularized culture? How do you continue to be a Christian? It's because you don't rely upon those things. You're not being reliant upon the luxuries that the Western culture, American experiment has. You rely upon Christ. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say right here, I can't remember the sermon, but it's from several years ago. Paul Washer talked about America is the hardest country in the world to be a Christian in. And I know that may sound strange without comprehending the context behind it, but because of what you just said, we have become complacent in our comfort in the United States and have taken so much for granted that people or Christians in other countries, like you said, for them it's a luxury, but for us it's become an expectation. And because of that and a lot of other things, but like I said, that, you know, Paul Washer pointed out, because, you know, he travels the world and he has spent, during his times with Heart Cry, he's probably spent more time out of the country than he spent in it. But, you know, because of not necessarily laziness, but because of complacency, we have become so used to those things, like just going down the road to whatever store, knowing that the shelves are going to be full. We take that for granted, just like you said, that, and we get into a lot of other deeper issues that are here in the United States. But, you know, it's one thing we need to remember is when we get to a point as a nation that proclaims to be a Christian nation, and we start taking things for granted that God blesses us with, at some point the Lord is going to grab us by the collar of our shirt and start shaking us and say, you need to wake up and understand this is a blessing. Quit taking it for granted.
Yeah.
I mean, that may be just a bare bones way of expressing it, but I see that happening in 2020. And, you know, if Biden takes over in 2021, is just a ramshackle of a year, and he follows through with some of his promises, and religious freedoms and religious liberties are completely gutted. Yeah. There's one very, very hopeful thing that will come out of that, is that you will definitely see a separation of the tares and the wheat, because those that are not truly born-again Christians, they will adhere and go along with all of that, saying that, well, we, in order to have, you know, true civil rights for homosexuals, we need to go along with this. Yes, this is right. We need to be supporting them. We need to be, you know, reaching out to them. And when I say reaching out, I don't mean with the gospel. I mean reaching out and taking hands with them as if they are truly brothers and sisters in Christ.
Right.
I think there, if 2021 turns out, worst case scenario, we will see a blessing in that, because the Lord will be revealing the true hearts of those that sit among the pews with us. And I can see it as a coming sickle separating tares from the wheat, and it will become even more clear and evident who truly are brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, we've already seen some of that this year.
Yeah.
Even especially among the SBC, with some of the waffling that's gone on with the social justice and Black Lives movement within the SBC, willing to sacrifice gospel fidelity for the under the banner of racial reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a sad thing, because, you know, the SBC is quote unquote the most conservative denomination in America. Well, it's not anymore. I'm sorry. There are truly conservative Christians within the SBC, but the SBC at this point as a whole is no longer a truly conservative denomination. And we could do an entire show devoted to what's going on and what's happened to the SBC. But, you know, as I've said many times, when it comes to that, it always comes back to the money. And that's the root cause of a lot of the problems with the SBC now is money.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's a show for another time. Real quick, before I forget, what we're discussing tonight was not planned. This is actually, you know, you heard of plan A, plan B. Well, we're on plan C, because plan A, I threw Chris and a wrench in the gears that I sent a message to him about 4 o'clock this morning that he gets slapped in the face with when he wakes up and opens his phone this morning. There's a topic in an episode that we've been off and on working on for about 2 weeks. Well, I did some more reading last night, and it just something just not sit well with me. And I told Chris in the message that we need to push this back another week and spend a little more time researching and studying, because things were just not quite there yet that we needed to come up with something else for tonight. So that just threw a screeching halt to tonight's plans. And I'll use this as a bit of a teaser. Lord willing, and we can get everything lined out, the next episode we record will be on this subject, and I will tip my hand a little bit. It will pertain to social justice, woke theology, Black Lives Matters, but it will be in context in a way that I don't think anyone else has discussed, or a subject matter anyone else has addressed as it pertains to this. So that's one reason that this has been turned out to be a very difficult episode to put together and discuss, is because it's so nuanced and there's so many intertwining, intricate little things within it that it's been really hard to pull that thread apart and separate, you know, what's what. So, I ask, be in prayer for us for that, that the Lord would grant us wisdom and words to speak biblically and clearly on this subject as we go forward. Hopefully we can present it to you next week. And tonight's plan B was, Chris posted a question wanting suggestions for a topic tonight. Well, we pulled a couple of the answers from that and had decided to discuss a couple of issues. Well, just for the course of this conversation, it didn't work out like that. So we're actually on plan C for tonight's recording. Nothing about this recording was pre-planned, preconceived, planned out, studied, researched, or anything. Tonight, we're just having a conversation on 2020 and the blessings of hope that have come about from it, and how we can use what we've learned from this year moving forward into 2021, and how we can use suffering and what we've experienced to bless others by being able to provide sound biblical advice to our brothers and sisters that have suffered because of 2020. I say, I'm starting to get my years confused myself. Brother, I will tell you this, because of which I'll link back, because it's something you said earlier, because of what you experienced with your wife during her bout with that disease, you've been able to lend advice to me in helping my own wife, mm-hmm. who is currently struggling with an autoimmune disease. I haven't really made this officially public, but her doctors have pretty much decided that she has lupus, which is an autoimmune disease that affects her joints and muscles and other parts of her body. And there's times where she can barely move because of the joint muscle pain and weakness. And this has been new for me because I'm used to being on the other end of that. She has spent the last 14 years helping me because of my disability from the auto accident I was in. So now I'm getting to experience it from her side of the spectrum, trying to help her. And the Lord has blessed us in my disability because I've learned how to deal with pain. I've learned how to deal with movements and how to basically plan how to walk in different aspects. I've been able to turn around and use that to help her, which, you know, going through it, I never dreamed that I would end up using what I learned from my own disability to help my own wife.
Yeah.
And because of what you learned going through it with your wife, you've been able to advise me on how to help my wife from the other side of the coin. So, you know, regardless of what we're going through, the Lord can use it for his glory, whether it's to sanctify us or to use it to bless and help a brother or sister or even a spouse when they're going through something. And one thing, I'll just throw this out there, here in the next few days, it will be my 14th anniversary. And I said anniversary. And that's something my kids came up with back in the first couple of years after the auto accident, and things were really, really bad. They picked the date of my accident, and they called that my anniversary. And trying to cheer me up. And at the time, my children were like 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, somewhere in that area. Well, it's kind of interesting, but long story short, they came up with a new meal for me. They took my two favorite foods, Chinese food and pizza, and combined them. One night we had, it was around the date of my accident, and we had pizza for dinner. Well, we had some leftover Chinese food. Well, my kids decided that they were going to surprise Daddy. They went in there and got the leftover Chinese food, chopped up the chicken and all the other stuff, and put it on the pizza and created Chinese pizza. So that is my official anniversary dinner meal, is Chinese pizza. And no, there was no pineapple involved in the creation of this.
I don't think I've heard this story before. Chinese pizza. Oh, that's going to start a whole new food battle online. You realize that.
It is actually really good. I mean, full blown, chopped up the vegetables, the noodles, the sweet and sour chicken, you name it. You know, it was chopped up in little bits and put on there, and more cheese sprinkled on top, melted into it. It's actually really good. I mean, I know that sounds like a weird combination, but yes, my children created Chinese pizza to cheer up their father in the early years of post-wreck syndrome.
That's amazing. I love it. That is great. Oh, no, the funny thing is, Rich, you're right. This was not at all intended to be our show tonight, but you know, God is funny. He makes things happen the way he wants them to for his purposes, as we said. And we only intended to kind of just maybe encourage you to help encourage and minister to one another in the final weeks of this insane year, because we certainly don't know what 2021 holds for us. But I got to admit, Rich, I'm glad we did talk about it. I don't go into details of what the things are that are impacting me for the most part, maybe because some of it involves other family members, that it wouldn't be right to share their struggles or issues. And because of the nature of my work, I don't want to tie my agency into these podcasts because you create a problem for them, and I don't want to do that either. But it's... I was telling Rich pre-show, just the sheer volume of things that have gone on just in my own life, and then adding into it all of the insanity of 2020. I mean, there have been times, even within recent weeks, where I just sit down and I'm kind of in this fog. Rich, you were talking about a fog earlier for yourself. And you're just like, I'm disconnected. I don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm just putting one foot in front of the other. And there's that weight. There's that pressure that you just feel beat down. And it doesn't matter how much sleep you get. You're tired. It doesn't matter whether you're eating well or not. You just feel achy or beat up or sick. And no, I don't have COVID. Relax. you just have this physical and mental burden, exhaustion, sadness, despair sense. And I really believe that there are so many who are contending with that, that in our, I think, justifiable desires to deal with some of the issues that have caused 2020 to be 2020, I think some of these battles are worth having. It might be a little too easy to forget, when we say, look, the whole COVID lockdowns have caused massive mental health issues. Okay, true. And yes, let's talk about that and how we can fix that. But brethren, let's not forget there are people dealing with massive mental health issues that we need to be ministering to. And, simple acts like Chinese pizza could actually be the thing that takes a person's introspection off themselves and causes them to focus on you, to focus on what you're saying, to focus them back on God. There are simple things. Okay, the only thing that I will probably ever get to be publicly considered having partnered with James White on, because this was hysterical, was the whole Amazon wish list reveal day that we did. I think it was last week. And it all stemmed from James talking about he had just learned that Amazon would not allow a person to search for somebody's wish list. So if I wanted to secretly buy something for Rich and he had a wish list, I could look him up on Amazon and I could go through his wish list if it was public and I could send him something. Well, you can't do that anymore. And James I know him personally. Dr. I mean, the guy did threaten to do an entire show about my not wanting to watch the show Elf. So maybe I should be allowed, but, he, Dr. White mentioned that was kind of a bummer. Cause one of the neat things about being able to do that was you learned a little bit something about a person because you learned about their interests. And so he jokingly said, we ought to have this. And I'm like, dude, let's do it. And I shared his idea. Well, he liked that. And so he later says, Chris Honholtz and I have come up with this idea. I'm like, we did. Only time I'll ever be publicly partnered with Dr. White, I'm sure. But it was this day where everybody shared their wish lists. And it's just a silly thing. And you guys got some of you guys got some really awesome wish lists. You got bookshelves that I would just like drool over. And some of you, okay, I don't know how he'll ever get it, but Dr. James White has on his wish list a $800 Garmin smartwatch. Good luck.
I was thinking more along the lines of the $1,200 Kuji sweater.
Yeah, his Kuji sweaters, oh my goodness. My wallet screamed. I didn't know Kuji's were that expensive. I just had no clue. And that's all I'm going to say. So he's got expensive taste at Dr. White. but that being said, it was, it really would be fun is if we all like created a GoFundMe and got him that watch, it would freak him out. He would never see that coming. And I know he'll never hear this because he is no way on earth he's actually listening to this show. So so if anybody wants to come up with that idea, message us. Because like I said, he doesn't listen to this. He is not going to know I came up with that. So that was a fun thing. And then some of you guys did something crazy. Some of you sent me like a movie and a book and this little bobblehead character that I had because I love the old Ultraman TV shows, and one of you guys sent those. And it was simple things like that that just, I mean, my wife messages me while I'm at work. Or no, she was home sick on Sunday. She wasn't feeling well. I was at my dad's house after church. She messages me because, you know, like the this time of year, Amazon has like USPS, you know, on a leash and says you will go deliver stuff on a Sunday. Weird. And so these packages show up and open them up. I don't know what they are. I didn't order anything for you that would be a secret about. And here are these two packages. So you guys did this amazing little thing. And so it just brought a smile on my face on a day that was actually kind of a rough day. Church was amazing, but there were other things that day that were rough. And that brought a smile to my face. So simple things that you can minister to someone just through being kind and loving them enough. And I'm not saying you have to guys go buy stuff, but just doing something fun for someone, ministering to them by being kind, comforting them. Those are things that I think right now all of us within the church could be doing for one another that would really encourage and strengthen us at a time when I am convinced that most of us are feeling this. And there have been times I've posted things and some of you have said, yeah, I'm feeling that. And I think we need to be cognizant of that, to just love one another, to come alongside, even though we want to fight these battles and they're worth fighting, still come alongside and minister to the mental health of one another within the church, and not just the platitudes, because we're good at that. You know, you all know what I'm talking about. Hey, God's in charge. You just got to have faith. Are you praying enough? Look, those are all true. But we can also do them as Christian platitudes, and it didn't help a thing. It just made someone feel worse because they're struggling right now. And, oh, man, I haven't picked up my Bible in 2 days. I mean, come on. We can reinforce those things, and we can still love one another enough not to beat each other up spiritually because, well, you're just not praying enough. You're not trusting enough. Come on, we can do that. We can love one another and not cause more pain that way. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rich.
I was just going to say sometimes it's the simplest things that can bring the most comfort to someone.
Mm-hmm.
Especially even on social media, if you have a brother or sister, you know, just let them know that you've prayed for them. But make sure you actually do that. The Lord will help them through whatever they may be going through. Just send them a message or a private message and just say, brother or sister, just wanted you to know that I was thinking about you and I prayed for you. Someone did that for me not long ago, and it was a brother I had not heard from in several years, and it was basically a message along those lines that I know we haven't talked in a long time. I was thinking about you, just want to let you know that I've prayed for you, and that brought such encouragement to me. Mm-hmm. That day. Although you're talking about the Amazon wish list, I don't think mine will be fulfilled. I only had one item listed on mine.
I think he laughed.
I did it in fun. Well, I did get a reply from Dr. White in regards to that, and I was serious, but it was in joking fun at the same time, because everyone had all these very long, complicated Amazon wish lists. I really don't use mine, so I just did a modified Photoshop type picture of one of Dr. White's book, and I put out beside of it, my wish list was to have Dr. White join us for an episode of Voice of Reason Radio.
Yeah.
He liked it and made a reply that basically he didn't even realize we were still partners because we got in a food fight over something around Thanksgiving. I think it's because I dared to badmouth your wife's green bean casserole.
No. That was when you threw me back under the bus over the whole elf thing. Because I had said, oh, look, you know, I reshared his thing where he tagged me and said, we've come up with this idea. And I said, let's do this. And you said, oh, is this the same Dr. White that was, you know, that was going to expose you as a Grinch for not liking Elf? And I'm like, no, I think it's time to, for maybe I start looking for a new host. That was fairly certain because he was tagged and all that.
The way, but I'm not a narcissistic egomaniac. I did that in joking fun. I think some people took it the wrong way, but, you know, on the show and online, 99% of the time, I'm just being myself. I got took to the woodshed over the last couple of weeks. One day, he was accusing me of jumping around too much and not taking the Bible serious enough. And the very next day, I had people telling me that I took the Bible too serious and I needed to lighten up and joke around a little bit more. So I'm like, okay, people, make up your mind. Yes, Chris and I sometimes go 15 or 20 minutes in banter. If you like the show and you listen to it, just skip over that and listen to the meat of once we get to it. But, folks, I'm just going to be myself. That's all I can do. I'm not going to try to make myself out to be something other than who I am. I'm just a regular guy that loves Christ, and I love doing this show with my brother Chris. And I pray that you are edified by some of our episodes and that the Lord is glorified. That's my purpose. That's who I am, and that's all I can be. Yes, I have a warped sense of humor sometimes, but guess what? Some of you do too, obviously, because some of you actually comment that you laugh and joke around too. But, you know, we're not going to be pleasing to everyone, even our brothers and sisters in Christ. We each have our own personalities, and we each have our own ways of talking and discussing things. And some of you like my Southern accent. Some of you despise it. I can't do anything about that. It's just hardwired into who I am unless I move out there with Chris and I pick up a different accent. So, you know, if you like the show, thank you. If you don't like it but listen to it anyway, thank you. If you can't stand the show, thank you. As long as you're studying your Bible and you're striving to live a life holy to Christ and pursue the path of sanctification, I love you as a brother or sister in Christ, whether you like us or agree with us or whatever. So I just kind of wanted to put that out there because I just found it odd that one day I was being told one thing and the next day I was being told the next. So, you know, I don't try to be anything other than myself.
Yeah.
So there it is.
And it's the funny thing is that you have to explain that. That's the sad part about it, that you have to go to the trouble of explaining that. Oh, heaven help us all. But, Rich, I'm actually glad that you sent the 4 a.m. Hey, let's change this up. This has become, I think, a good conversation. It wasn't something, as you said, neither of us intended to go down this road. But I really hope that the people listening to this and wondering where we were going to get off the train, I hope they actually were blessed by it, because you know, I feel pretty good about it. I actually feel that this was a something that was worth talking about, even though it wasn't something we planned. And I hope what everybody can take away from this is that, you know, God is using this insane year for purposes that we don't know what the next steps are going to be. Maybe tomorrow, maybe the next year, maybe it is going to be that America falls into a socialist Marxist regime. And we now have to learn how to live in this culture, in this secularized Marxist culture. Maybe that's the case. Maybe God is merciful and all the things that the Marxists are trying to do fails. And maybe even if Biden does take the presidency, somehow it just doesn't pan out the way they're trying. Maybe God will be gracious. I don't know. We none of us knows what's going to happen. But what we know is we serve an amazing God. We know that he will judge the unrighteous. We know that he will redeem the lost that repent and put their faith in him. We know that he will strengthen us through trials that he will use for his purposes. And we know that he puts us together in these local churches to use the gifts that he's given us to edify and strengthen the church. So whatever happens, whether 2021 becomes a great year or 2021 just is a continuation of the year that won't end, we still serve the same God. So the God that we served when 2019 became 2020 is still the same God that's going to be in control of the universe and decreeing all that will happen in 2021. Nothing's changed about him. He's today. He's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. So we have that. We have that encouragement. We have that amazing promise. What's going to happen? We don't know. Does that make you feel anxious? Yeah. Can you trust God even in that anxiety? That's the question you got to ask yourself. And can you be someone who encourages scripturally through prayer, through teaching, through encouragement, through loving one another, comforting one another? Can you do that and bring people to that place where they're trusting God? That's the question I think we need to ask ourselves going into 2021. And 2020 has reminded us how desperately evil and wicked are the days in which we live. Because look at, this is going to be an unpopular thing that I'm going to say, and it's going to get me in trouble. When prior to the election in November, I saw all y'all posting, oh, look at all these Trump rallies. And look at these tiny little things that that Biden has. There's no way he's going to win. And then you're all going, I don't understand. And then you show me the same pictures. You want to know where Biden's rallies were? They were called the peaceful protests. They were the Antifa and BLM protests. They were the riots. Who do you think those guys voted for? Why do you think Biden didn't need big crowds? We live in the midst of a perverse and evil generation. So if 2021 has taught us one other thing, we need to be busy about preaching the gospel. Because all those people, they don't know Christ. If you can tell me that you can vote for a man who will tell schools that they have to open locker rooms for the girls to boys, and will dictate that 8-year-old children who can't even be allowed to decide what movie to watch can dictate what sex they're going to be. We got problems. And folks, a whole bunch of people voted for that man. And they, a whole bunch of people.
People among the pews.
Even in our pews. And there are a whole bunch of people that think it's perfectly fine to shut down and destroy people's livelihoods, their sanity, keep them from their families because there's a virus that might make people sick. And they think you are the worst person in the world if you doubt that. Are you telling me we don't need to be busy about the gospel right now? This is a perfect time to look and go, the gospel needs to be preached. So I hope this conversation evolved out of just what was supposed to be an encouragement, but I hope it was helpful to you. I hope it encouraged you. I hope it made you feel like, hey, whatever comes, I know I've got a God I can trust in. And whatever it may do, may it please do two things. Go love your brethren, because they're hurting too. And then get out there and find somebody to share the gospel with, because they need it. Rich, any last thoughts?
Just like I close each week, make it a point to proclaim the gospel at least once a day, whether through your words or text or post a gospel tract online, but make it a point to proclaim the gospel at least once a day.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, thank you. Thank you for just sitting through a rambling conversation. Rich and I have joked about doing one of these just for the fun of it, but not so much, just a weird conversation of just nonsensical things, but joked about having a show where we just talked like you would with your neighbors or your coworkers or loved ones. And, guess we actually did one. So I hope this was a blessing to you. I hope it encouraged you. But we're going to try and be good about doing shows up through the end of the year. However, of course, as we get close, Christmas and New Year's, and maybe we'll run some reruns. But we're still going to try and get at least two or three more live recordings in before the year is out. We don't want to leave you hanging like we did last year. That was just kind of the circumstances, but hopefully if God is gracious and it's his will, we'll be able to record a few more as this year winds down. But just know that you serve an amazing God. Go love your brethren. And as Rich said, make it a practice to share the gospel with somebody each day. Thank you for being with us. We love you guys. We'll see you next time.